Hear the World Endurance Championship when you want it. Every moment of the season is waiting for you at www.radiolemans.com. So if you missed the race, want to catch up with practice, qualifying, and our behind-the-scenes interviews and chat, head to the WEC archive section at www.radiolemans.com. Radiolemans.com, the home of endurance racing. Nissan, the power behind the FIA World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMans.com. Nissan, we know sports cars.
Powered by Nissan and in association with SimRaceWay Online Racing World. Hello there, this is the fourth round of the World Endurance Championship live from Silverstone in the centre of the UK. Bright and sunny morning, and we're about to have some endurance cars on the track, although not the FIA World Endurance Championship cars. This one of my favourites of the weekend, the classic endurance racing cars. We've seen this over the last few years with the European Le Mans Series, the ILMC, and now the FIA WEC, that we roll out the Di Tommaso Mangustas, the Chevrons, the BMW M1s, the Porsches, the Lolas, and the Ford GTs. Just fantastic cars. A couple of old Sauber BMWs in there as well, I noticed from the entry list. I do hope we will get some of those on the circuit. It's a chance for those of us who have followed endurance racing for some time to either relive the races of yesteryear, or for those of us who love endurance racing but weren't around when these cars were out there, to at least get some flavour of what was going on back, 20-odd, 30-odd years ago. Most of these cars coming from the 1970s, although there's a couple of 1960s Lolas in there, 69, 67, I noticed there. Paul Truswell, how many of these cars did you see in period then? Or were they a little bit, are they still a little bit early before you got to the tracks? Oh, and we've lost Paul for just a moment. Good morning, Alan McNish, who's just walked in and had a look over our shoulder. All of these well before your time, at least then, Johnny.
Yes, that's safe to say. But I really enjoy seeing them because it's kind of my only chance to kind of see them second time around, I suppose. And I know that Paul had made comments at Donington as to whether classic racing can rekindle exactly how it was, you know, 30-40 years ago. Oh, hello, Paul. I mean, this is my chance to see these cars in action for the first time, but I remember you saying at Donington Park that it never quite can do the period time justice. I thought Paul could talk to us then, but maybe not. But this is something I'm really looking forward to, and I presume, does this category support a lot of the FIA World Endurance Championship events then, John?
We've seen it over the years, certainly, and normally you'll get some of the guys out on the pit wall. Is Paul there? Well, I thought we had him for a moment. I did think I'd heard him in the background. Let me just turn that up. No, just getting a lot of hiss at the moment from Beckett. We'll get Paul back in a few moments' time, just fine-tuning our setup here as well, of course, during these early parts of the weekend. Now, I mean, the cars are very evocative. They look great. They are being driven quite often with some gusto, in fairness, for cars that are worth quite a lot of money. Of course, the big change from when these cars were in period is tyre technology's come on. Although these run what are called classic tyres, you can't unknow what the tyre companies know. And quite frankly, some of these cars are probably turning as good, if not better, times, and are possibly even in better condition, certainly when they were being run at the end of their natural lives by possibly privateers. These cars have been lovingly restored and looked after down the years, and they really prove a credit to their owners. Unfortunately, they tend to disappear on Saturday night, and their place in the paddocks are left. So if you're going to come to Silverstone on Friday or Saturday, make sure you get a chance to go and have a look around the paddock before Saturday evening, because these guys, a lot of them are enthusiast drivers, and they won't be around on Sunday. They'll be heading back to wherever they work, and therefore the cars aren't around. Ooh, a couple of nice 9146s in that shot that we're looking at from Spa that Johnny's found on the internet. Obviously I will be looking at the 935 K3 that is out there, which is there's a couple of 935s that the K3 is particularly rare, and these cars from the national end of things, I don't think they've come down to our paddock yet, to be honest.
I haven't seen them.
He's restored to life. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I had a brief 360 moment. That's not to say a 360 spin, but an intervention from...
You'll be out there all weekend, Paul, you know, because of your location. You'll be spinning around on the spot.
That's right.
Quite so. A small adjustment has been made, and I think that was largely for your benefit, John, so hopefully it is better than it was.
It's perfect. It's absolutely lovely.
Well done, Mark. Thank you to him for making that adjustment then.
Just going back to what we were saying, you know, we talked about this quite a lot at the ELMS, what appears to have been the last ELMS European side, ELMS at least, of the season at Donington Park, Paul, and whilst it's always nice to see these cars, you were opining that you could never really replace seeing them when they were in their pomp.
Exactly. There's something about watching racing when it really matters.
Yes.
When you're out there and you're actually trying to win Le Mans or win a six-hour race at Silverstone, then inevitably the car is driven with a little bit more passion. You know, it all matters a little bit more. Mm. And whilst I hugely enjoy the fact that we can watch classic cars racing, and whilst it is much better to have them competing than it is just stuck in museums where you can only look at them.
Oh, I hate that.
I love looking at them at museums, but...
I don't mind them being in museums so long as they're getting used.
Exactly.
A dusty, unused, smelling racing car is one of the saddest things that you can ever see.
Exactly. Although, you know, that has arguments for and against as well, because in order to put it into a racing condition, you have to do certain things to it, and it then is no longer original. So, you know, the whole thing becomes a debate, and there's always a flip side to every argument that you can give. But I just find, particularly with new circuits and circuits that are configured differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are places at Silverstone where the track is just about as it was, but there's also quite a few places that it is very different as well. I mean, I think Maggots and Chapel Curve are the only two remaining corners at Silverstone.
Sorry, Paul. Carry on.
From the original Silverstone circuit, so the corners immediately before and after the Beckett's S's.
Yes.
And you know, if you kind of screw your eyes up and watch the cars coming through there and say, yes, that's how it used to be. Mm. I mean, I'm not quite sure if I am lucky or not, but I mean, I did see Group C in its heyday. I say I'm lucky or not because obviously that means I'm of a certain age where I'm not going to be able to see the next generation of sports cars. But, you know, I'm lucky enough that I did see them in their heyday, and I want to hang on to those memories and make those the real memories rather than have the memories that you end up getting by looking at the cars in their kind of classic racing or their historic racing perspective. I mean, I never saw a D-type Jaguar race in its contemporary. I never saw a Maserati 250F race contemporarily, which I would have loved to have done. And so seeing them in a historic race is the only thing I'm going to get. So by all means, bring on these classic racers. I think they're great. But make sure if you did remember... or if you do remember the historic races, make sure you cling on to those memories rather than kind of remembering what you see. You know, don't remember the colour pictures, remember the black and white
pictures. Black and white memories, yeah.
Talking of black and white memories, I just had an email from Robin Goodman,
would
you believe, who went out for dinner, here's a name for you to conjure with, John, with Louis Antoine.
Oh, the temperamental continental.
And they've... they spent 4 hours reminiscing and moaning and...
having a splendid time, it seems.
At Donington, and both of you guys were there, we sort of unofficially did our Spirit of the Meeting Award and passed that on to Sam Hancock for his efforts in the European Le Mans Series race. It was suggested to us by our listeners that we should do that at every race meeting in the main event that we look at, and I thought that was a reasonable idea, and it's not obviously groundbreaking. It's been done by certain commentators as a completely unofficial and no money or trophy to be handed over. However, it was also I also thought that for the spirit of any meeting that Radio Le Mans is at, we should actually call that the Robin Goodman Award, because Robin just completely personifies everything that we've done over the years for Radio Le Mans. He's done everything with a smile and normally a kind word, some encouragement, and a joke as well, which is always a good thing. He was certainly a big mentor to me in my formative years. And
you say that, John. I mean, he always does everything with a smile on his face. Generally, Robin's jobs were not the best jobs.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's not like we were giving him like the prime commentator's slot and a view of the circuit for the whole 24 hours.
Indeed not.
Oftentimes, it was working in the shop between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning, or going down to Carrefour to buy spicy sausages or some such. So Robin. Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll have the Robin Goodman Award, I think.
You like that? Yep. I thought you would like that. Yeah. So that's something we'll be looking out for in the race on Sunday. As a gaggle, I'm not sure what the collective noun for classic endurance racing cars are, but a gaggle of them, or a whole group of them, have just gone past us, and they. However you look at them, Paul, you can't fail to say that you can't fail to be moved by them, and they certainly look different and sound different from anything that we see nowadays. And one of the great joys for me of the cars of this era is you can tell pretty much which one's which just by looking and listening to them.
Yeah, quite. And you have to kind of mate yourself. Oh dear, there's a Lotus T70 Mark III. Hadn't realised that we went quite that far back in in classic. My attention was drawn in the first group by the denim sponsored BMW M1.
Oh yes.
Which gives you great images of the old Pro Car series, as it was. There's a.
Can you imagine trying to get that for those younger listeners who don't know what we're talking about? Before each Formula One race, there'd be a BMW M1 Pro Car race. They did it for a couple of seasons in Peugeot 505 GTIs, believe it or not. But if you can get pictures of that, that is worth looking at, particularly around Monaco. So you had people who were doing that series for the full series, and was it the top six qualifiers in the F1 who got a drive as well?
I want to say top eight, but yeah. It was certainly a top group who were allowed to drive, but sometimes contracts prevented them from doing so. Mm. But yes, they were then given the prize drives, as it were. I think the BMW M1 was one of those. There's a 512 BB Ferrari out there as well, which I've not seen before in the Classic Endurance series.
Yeah, that one.
Paul Natfield.
Paul Natfield. Was he not here in that last year but had a load of problems with it? Because it was super quick when it went, but he had braking problems, didn't he?
No, this is the BB, the Berlinetta Boxer, which is a coupe Ferrari 512.
It's not Paul, don't think.
No,
sorry,
I think that's a different one. It's just coming into the village now, so I'll be able to tell you its number.
Okay. What I meant was it's not Paul Natfield. You're probably quite right, Paul Truswell, but Paul Natfield is here in a March, apparently.
It's not Paul.
The Berlinetta Boxer is number 41, just going through Aintree.
It is Paul Natfield, but he's labelled as a March.
That's not a March. 7.6S. That's a Ferrari 512 Berlinetta Boxer.
I thought so. I've got a picture of Paul's. Is it blue?
Yes.
With European University sponsorship.
I didn't notice what the sponsorship was. But
blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow, probably, yeah.
Keep an eye open for that. By the way, thanks to the fantastic social media and Victor Rad, who's one of our regular contributors to the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective at RadioLeMond.com. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to RadioLeMond.com, click on the forum, go on to the thread that says live Thursday and Friday at Silverstone. Guillaume Moreau is up and about, back to walking and going through physio. He won't be driving this year for Oak because he's not quite back to full race fitness. Their target is a return for next year. And Endurance Info has been reporting his condition since Le Mans. So, Victor, thanks for that. A number of people asking about Guillaume Moreau. And Speed 6 asking any local track circuit TV. Not at the moment. We expect to get that at some stage in the future. Probably not today. Normally on the Friday when it's test sessions. Visuel, who the guys who do the TV for WEC are setting up, etc. Although I do have very, very Kermit green cables around my feet, so it may be that we might get something. But we're hoping to have certainly pictures for qualifying on WEC, and that will be on the streams as well. There goes Paul Knapfield in the Berlinetta boxer, and it is indeed that blue and yellow one that has, at some stage in the past, taken my grandfather's police number, 113. But they're this weekend running 41, I think, if I'm right, if I'm ready.
Yep. So that's an amendment to the programme, isn't it? Because it is labelled as a march in the programme. But yeah. Ferrari 512 it is, BB.
We haven't got a definitive entry list for that. So we're, Paul and I, looking out the window and going ooh and ah and going... Oh yes, that one.
Yeah, I haven't even got a programme, I have to admit, because I was so excited about something else which has happened that I wanted to get to Beckett's and try
it up. Yes.
Without getting myself a programme either. So when the lunch break happens, which is fairly shortly, I think, then I should be dashing back to try and get a programme.
At the moment, there is still no CER, because I've just seen a 69 car go through in bright red and green. I'm very interested to see what that car is listed as. See if you can see when it comes around. It's got the big snorkel airbox, Paul, when it comes past you. Red and green halves of the car, top to bottom. And see if I only caught it out the corner of my eye in the 5 picoseconds that I can see it as it goes past the window.
We have a red car coming up into the village at the moment. No, that's not. That's a single-digit car. Let me wait until I see 69. Well, there's four abreast as they come through village. What am I looking for? 69.
Correct. I think it was 69. I can't find it in the programme.
Yeah, it was. So red and green car. But
it had that big sort of forced induction air intake over the top of the engine that was so beloved of F1 cars. And it is... listed as D Hart, and it's quick. It's fourth quickest at the moment. I should say Pierre Lafargue is quickest at the moment. Patrice Lafargue, excuse me, in the Lola BMW, the 1979 car from Proto 2, and Frederic de Rocher in the similar car, the Lola T298, is in second place. They're separated by a couple of seconds, though, nearly 3 seconds. In third, the Matra, I think it is, the 24 car. Yes, it is, the 670B from 1974. Another prototype 2 entry. And the 69 is third, and that is listed... Well, M-A-R is the car... That'll be a March, then.
Mm, I was thinking that.
It's got to be a March.
Oops.
Oops, says Paul from Beckett.
Yeah, just a spinner at Village for the second time is the number 15 935 Porsche, which has already had a spin at that corner and has overcooked it again.
What number was that, Paul?
Number 15, Porsche 935.
Right, well...
K3.
Number 15 is listed as a Lola here, so that's not helping us. So let's scan down the timing and scoring and see what it says... 15 might be
pale blue and yellow, as I say, 935 K3 Porsche. I'm still keeping my eyes open for 69.
It could be Doug Hart. Well, I've just found on the internet.
Yeah, I think it is Doug Hart and his Matra. He's dropped down to sixth place now in that 69 car, as up into fifth. And in fact, there's been a change at the top as well, as Rob Hall and Abba Corgan's Matra goes to the top of the timing and scoring monitor with a 205 flat. That's the one. Isn't the internet a wonderful thing? Now, it's listed as a 66 there, so let's see if it's listed as 66 here. No, that's a Porsche RSR. So 69, green bottom, red top. It is a beautiful, beautiful March.
It is a March, yeah. It's either a 75S or a 76S, but
I think that's it's a 75S.
That's the car that's listed against Paul Natfield, but obviously Paul's in his Ferrari 512.
Yeah.
Paul Natfield has had a 75S March, more of a Can-Am car really, rather than a strict, call it sports car in the classic endurance sense. But I still haven't seen it. So I hope it hasn't stopped out on the circuit, but I fear that it might have done because...
Well, I think the March has as well, because that's got an S next to it, yes. Oh, sorry, that was what you were talking about, Paul. My apologies. Also with an S next to it is the number 50, Dominique Guinat, in the Lola T286 DFV prototype 2 car. Not sure how... Proto 2 and Proto... The Proto 1 cars tend to be the more... the closed cars, don't they? Chevron B6... Proto 2, C5 BMW. There's a couple of GT classes as well, which is mainly, but not exclusively, Porsches.
Proto 1 is 66-72.
Yeah.
Proto 2 is 73-79.
Okay, so that it's on age rather than...
It's age, not engine size.
Got you. Okay. So the practice session has 17 minutes to go for the endurance... Legends or Classic Endurance Racing. Ninth season of this particular form of the Classic Racing. There are a number of them, of course. Looking at cars between 1966 and 79. We've had a number... I mean, we've had up to 42 cars at various stages in this category over there. And we do... enjoy watching them. We don't normally have to qualify to commentate on them, except when we're at Silverstone doing the full meeting, of course. So that means that what normally happens is I'm hanging over a balustrade somewhere with a pair of binoculars, getting out there listening to the engine noise. It's actually quite nice to be taking more of an interest. As through goes the dark maroon number 33, that's the Ford GT40. And I can say GT40 in this one, for Richard Mille of watch fame. Oh, if I must, yes, I will take one of your watches. Thank you. Although that car, that number is listed as a T70, and that was definitely a Ford GT that went through. And in fact, on the timing and scoring, that is correct, a GT1 Ford. Have we got the Chevrolet with us this weekend? Yes, we have, 22. That's Jean-Marie Beltest and Romain Beltest. In the programme, that car is listed as a BMW. We're going to have to do a lot of programme changes here. These drivers, clearly owner drivers, have garages of full-size cars, as we would collect 1/43rd scale models back in home. Which reminds me, I forgot to bring the two Radio Le Mans sponsored HPDs to get David Brabham to sign this evening. Just remember that tomorrow. Through goes the 22 that's just gone through. That wasn't a Corvette. If it was, this is a voyage of discovery here. I'm loving this.
What are you looking for, John? 22.
Yeah, is it a Corvette?
22 is a blue,
or is it a Chevron?
It's a blue Chevron.
It's a Chevron. Okay.
P19 Chevron.
Right. Well, it's not down as that. This is almost as fun as the Olympic closing ceremony when I was guessing the cars that were wrapped, the classic cars wrapped in newspaper before they were revealed, which is a lot of fun. We had a very active stream on vigilamongup.com of people who were doing exactly the same. Nine's just gone through, which is Jean-Marc Merlin in the 1978 Porsche 935 in GT2. That is the dark blue car. Also going through, 24, the Matra 670B, Rob Hall and Abba Corgan. That is the quickest car at the moment. Rob Hall listed in that car at the moment, but I'm not sure whether we will get the distinct drivers or just the first named drivers in this category. We will get starting driver list for the race. That Matra, the 24, is in what you would describe as works Matra colours, as it comes round to into Paul's view, and looks great.
And it has Gitane on the side as well.
Yes.
Which, talking of 143rd models, if you're going to buy a 143rd model of that car, beware, because most of them come without the Gitane stickers.
Exactly.
In fact, Jim Roller was proudly showing me his that he'd bought recently, and I said, "It's not right." And he said, "But sure it is. I paid whatever it was for this." I said, "It hasn't got any Gitane stickers." Ah. And he slapped his head on, slapped his forehead on the palm of his hand, as only an American can do. But anyway, so he's now out looking for some Gitane stickers, as far as I know. Probably too early in the morning for him to be listening, although I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, well, depends where he is in the state and what he's doing and whether he's travelling.
There are actually two different ones, aren't there, of the Matras. 47, just going through. And... you see, I'm working out how this works, because I've got the Magic has come in for Classic Endurance, although it wasn't in effect for the Formula Renaults.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working out how it all works now. So I'll be able to tell you where number 47 is. It's between Sector 1 and Sector 2. As the 935 Porsche goes through the Beckett's S's. Having managed to get Village right on the previous lap, he then went very wide at the loop. So I think it's Yvon Mar driving that car is having an equal voyage of discovery, although it's to do with getting around the track rather than finding out who's driving what.
I've just been corrected by my father. His number was 113. It was my grandfather. Was 118, and my dad was 113. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, there's the March. The March has got going again.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, 75S. Yes, it is. It didn't used to be green, but...
it's green and red. Is that the two-halved one?
Yeah, it is now. It used to be all red.
Ah.
So it's got going again. And if I now go 69... I can tell you that it did a six-minute lap time.
Ah, its best lap time is a 2:08.491.
Which was the last one that it did, but its time on its fourth lap was a 6 minutes 2.100.
So if you are at the track and you have a provisional entry list, provisional is the operative word here. Once we get a definitive on what is going to be out there for CER, we'll do a rundown for you of that. I suspect that that will be closer to qualifying for these cars.
Probably the thing to do is, once this session has finished, is wait half an hour and then go on to the FIAWEC website and follow the links through to the timekeeping website. And the timekeeping website will then give you the timing results from this session.
Good point.
And then once you've printed out that, you'll have the entry list, won't you?
That's very good. That's very good.
Or you can just go on to, I think it's wec.alcamelsystems.com. If it's not that, it's something close to that. But if you go to the FIA WEC website first, then that has a link to it. A Porsche 934 is going past very slowly. It's number 96.
96... should be Juan Pablo Orella and Santiago Orella. I was expecting to see them in an RSR 3-litre from 1974 in GT1.
It might be an RSR. I'm not very good on my Porsches.
But
it's not going to get as far as the end of the Wellington Straight. It's going to stop halfway down the Wellington Straight. Dead stick, I think, is the phrase you would use, John.
Yes. Lack of motive power. No fire.
Wheels that work but don't go round.
Yes, not being assisted in any way, shape or form. It's still, by the way, the 24 Matra that leads. That's the Rob Hall 670B from 1974 that we've been talking about. Second at the moment is that early time from Patrice Lafargue in the Lola 298. That's the little 2-litre BMW engine car from 1979. Just popping up into third place is the 45. That's Sandy Watson and Martin O'Connell. Now, they're down as a Chevron B36, and it is Chevron next to it, so I have to say I haven't noticed the 45, so I'll keep an eye out from there as a very slow bright orange 42 goes through, which is not on the entry list. And if I scan through the timing, that is listed as a BBL, whatever that means.
42, you said it just gone past you.
Yeah. Bright orange,
can't miss it.
Oh yeah, got it coming up now. That looks like another Chevron from here.
Any advance on the Chevron?
Chevron B23, I think.
Okay. Car 68 is intriguing me. It's yellow and blue. Not on the entry list, but I reckon that's Jacques Nicolet at the wheel. Certainly Nicolet J is on the screen, but again, can't tell you what it is. It's just going through now, actually, across the start and finish line and up towards Abbey. But a couple of the quite a few contemporary endurance racers are having a go at the classic stuff as well, which is good to see.
It's
68, it'd be heading to you.
Yeah, I think it's the Duckhams, isn't it?
Ah,
it's in Duckhams colours.
But the letters on the screen are DUC.
Yes,
so.
I don't actually know whatever happened to that car, but it was a Decadene recreation of a Lola, which was then sponsored by Duckhams, and Alan Decadene being a fairly sharp wheeler dealer when it came to making a deal, decided to call it a Duckhams in deference to its sponsor, and it raced at Le Mans in a particular year as a Duckhams Lola. And if I just fire up, I wonder if I can do two bits of software at once here. Yes.
Oh, if you can get the internet working, then you're doing a little better than I am at the moment, Paul.
No, we're doing very well at the moment.
Good.
But yes, that's the problem. Is it's not listed in the official database as a Duckhams. It's listed as a Lola, which is going to take considerably longer to go through and find. So we'll leave that one for now and come back to it tomorrow when we've had more time to do some research. But it is it's certainly a pretty car. Let's try going in as Decadene.
So the screen saying that Rob Hall is quickest at the moment in the Matra 670B from 1974. That's a prototype 2 car. Car 24 currently stopped, presumably in pit lane, but it has set a time of 2 minutes 3.812 seconds. 2 minutes 3.812 seconds. Actually, it's gone through sector 1, but hasn't triggered the sector 2 timing beam. So it stopped possibly somewhere on the circuit, therefore.
Which car is that? Sorry, Johnny.
Number 24.
Right.
Matra.
Yes, it's kind of within my sector, but presumably stopped. I know what it's done. It's gone into the garage, hasn't it? Because that's the garage where the Classic Endurance...
Ah, yes.
It'll be in the old pit lane, the national pit lane. where those cars are being garaged this weekend. So if you want to get a chance to have a look at them, then that's the place to be. And it will have gone into its garage up there. I think that's why it stopped.
Yeah. That's why there's lots of cars actually on the screen with the letter S next to their number, yes, because they have stopped mid-lap effectively, but yeah, that's where they're homed for this weekend. Yeah, okay.
The number 96, though, which I think you'll also have on your list as a stopper, that has stopped and not got going again on the Wellington Straight. I suggested to John a few moments ago that it was going to pull off. It has pulled off. It's on the grass on the left-hand side of the circuit, about halfway down Wellington Straight, which is the what used to be called the Club Straight many years ago, that links Beckett's to Woodcote in the old parlance of the club circuit, but is now the Wellington Straight and is the now fastest part of the new Grand Prix circuit. It's I think a few metres longer than Hanger Straight. As Paul Knapfield goes through in the lovely dark blue and yellow Ferrari 512BB, that car dating from 1980-81 when it raced at Le Mans. You were talking about the Duckhams, the green and yellow car, Johnny.
Yeah, I've actually found now some onboard footage on YouTube of Jacques Nicolet at the wheel of the 1972 Duckhams LM.
Yes, yes. The thing that threw me is that my Le Mans database has it listed as a Duckham, raced in 72 and 73. Came 12th in 1972 with Alain de Cadenet driving, along with Chris Craft. But as I say, it was really a Lola T280, I think. But having been breathed upon by de Cadenet, and of course eventually Alain made the Lola into his own car and called it a de Cadenet, which then became the car which memorably won the six-hour race at Monza in 1981 with Desiree Wilson as co-driver.
So that Duckham's car was raced at the Le Mans Classic this year, because that's where this onboard footage is from, with Nicolet at the wheel. So number 68, let's have a look where that is on the screen. Sixth place at the moment, a time of 2 minutes 11.196 seconds, and it is out on track at the moment in sector 3. No change at the top of the order, with the car that is quickest so far in the paddock on in the national pits, number 24, 2 minutes 3.812, the fastest lap for that. But number one is second fastest, with Lafargue at the wheel, a 2 minutes 6.375. So significant difference between first quickest and second quickest times at the moment. It's Matra from Lola from Chevron, first, second and third. And there are 30 seconds to go in this session, so getting towards the end of it, and significant margin between first and second fastest cars. The Matra from the Lola, Doug Hart in his March is fourth fastest. Easy to pick out that red and green number 69 car. Nicolet's now actually up to fifth position in the Duckhams, so bettering his lap that time through. That completed 10 laps for the number 68 car. It's car 2, which is another Lola, in 6th position as the chequered flag comes out at the end of the first session for CER. That's free practice done and dusted then.
A further half hour of proper practice, qualifying practice, this afternoon at 3:15. and then that'll be the first qualifying session. They get another half hour of qualifying practice on Saturday morning, and then a 1 hour race on Saturday afternoon. So as John was saying, they have a tendency to pack up and go home on Saturday night, having finished everything that they have to do by then. But I don't know whether some might say, but say that with them laid out in the top paddock, the old paddock, using the old garages, then I'm sure the opportunity is there to go up and have a look around.
And the cars will slowly filter through, of course, heading across the line to complete the session at varying speeds. There are a handful of cars already in the paddock, eight of them in total, but plenty of other cars still out there looking for quick times to finish the practice session as they mean to go on for the rest of the weekend. Through goes Patrice Lafargue in the number one car, the Frenchman, driving his Lola T298. Second fastest, therefore, for that car, but no one can touch at the moment. Car number 24, Rob Hall, sharing that car with Abba Kogan this weekend. So it's a British-Brazilian partnership in the Matra 670B from 1974. And that, although parked up in the national pits as we speak, looks to be the fastest car in the session. Through goes number 27, which is Lucien Rossiard and Louis Colley in the Chevron B36 BMW Power for that 1976 car. And there are only a few more machines to complete session, just two more through we should see, I think, unless they may have already gone into the paddock, of course, and it won't tell us that immediately because the S sign will take a while to work its way out, that the car is effectively stopped on the circuit, although we'll be back in the national pits. But that's the first session for CER over and done with, John, and Rob very Hall good. Is the fastest.
Thank you very much, Johnny, and also thank you to Paul Truswell out at Beckett's. We do.
If I may, yes. John, I'm just going to take a short break now in order to do a little bit more paperwork, so I shall be back in time for the next track action.
Okay.
If that works for you.
That does indeed work for me. Thank you very much indeed. Paul Truswell out at Beckett's. There is a slight break now in proceedings. For those of you listening on RadioLeMond.com and indeed on 87.7 around the circuit, our lunchtime feature is that of one of the names that may not be so familiar to you in the World Endurance Championship. But if you follow American motorsport, you will have heard of Peter Barron, and he'll be talking to us. We recorded this a little earlier in the season about his WEC campaign and about where Starworks Motorsport came from. You're listening to RadioLeMond.com, powered by Nissan and in association with Sim Raceway Online Racing World.
Nissan, the power behind the FIA World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMond.com. Nissan, we know sports cars. Midweek Motorsport, Wednesday at 8 p.m. News and discussion, comment and debate, and sometimes speculation and argument. Join in with the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective at RadioLeMond.com as the team talk through a broad range of topics from throughout motorsport. F1, rallying, NASCAR, bikes, touring cars, sports cars. If it has wheels and they keep score, it's on. Midweek Motorsport, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. RadioLeMond.com.